In the name of our Lord Jesus, who graciously and abundantly bestows on us his Spirit. The story is told of the devil who was supervising some of his underlings, the demons, and observing their efforts. And he observed one neophyte demon, apprentice, who was seeking to direct a monk, an isolated hermit, into temptation. And this demon threw against this monk his artillery, the lusts of the flesh, all kinds of doubts and fears. And yet the monk remained unmoved. The efforts of the demon were to no avail. And so the devil intervened. He said, "Your efforts are crude. Let me show you how to do it." And he subtly then went to the side of this meditating monk and whispered in his ear, "Did you hear the latest news? Your brother, the other monk, was just elevated to bishop." Immediately on hearing that, the previously peaceful countenance of this hermit was clouded with a malignant jealousy. He protested, "Why was he elevated over me? I'm more qualified." And he succumbed to the sin of jealousy. We all are vulnerable to that sin. In this place and in the ministry, I think we're especially vulnerable to the sin of vocational jealousy. Generally speaking, I don't consider myself to be a jealous person. If you excel in athletics or music, I'm happy for you. If you succeed in business and investments, great, more power to you. But if you excel in preaching, or if I hear that you are an engaging teacher, I'm threatened. We all are tempted to jealousy, and especially vocational jealousy. We certainly see that here in our text from Numbers chapter 11, going all the way back 3,500 years to the leadership of Moses. Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, and estimates are that there were over 2 million folks that he was leading. That's an overwhelming task. Added to this, he had the spiritual leadership of all of these people, and he was subject to clergy burnout. And so the Lord graciously gathered together, or had Moses summon together, 70 elders to meet at the tent of meeting. And there the Lord transferred his spirit from Moses to these 70 elders. And they began to prophesy, signaling these are spiritual leaders. But a significant phenomenon took place. Two men by the name of Eldad and Medad, who Moses hadn't summoned as a part of this gathering, they were still in the camp. They received the Spirit as well and began prophesying, signaling that they are spiritual leaders. And when the word came back to Joshua, Moses' aide, his second in command, Joshua ran to Moses, and he said, "Moses, stop them!" In other words, Joshua must have felt threatened. "They haven't been authorized by you." Moses' response was this, "Joshua, are you jealous? Are you jealous? Jealous for my sake, but I think indirectly jealous for your own position, your own sake." Jealousy. We see it here in Joshua, and we see it in our own lives and in our own ministry. Jealousy is characterized by the attitude towards others of competitiveness. Okay? I'm good only when I'm better than you. That competition. as a student, you receive your exegetical paper back and you're pretty satisfied with the grade until you hear how much better your study partner got on his exegetical paper. Then it's, ugh, how'd that happen? Or you're a professor and your students are talking before class starts about the fantastic lecture that the previous professor gave, how engaging he was, and you feel threatened. Don't they think I'm engaging? Or you receive your first call and it's okay until you hear the description of some of your brothers and the calls that they have received. They seem so much more glorious than yours. And there's resentment, bitterness, jealousy. It's this attitude towards others of competition, especially brothers and sisters in our vocations. And I think that deep behind this attitude is also an attitude towards God. It's an attitude that God is unfair. I mean, I've worked hard, I've played by the rules, and yet God blesses that person more than me. Not to mention they're much less faithful and righteous than I am. How can you do that, God? That's not fair. Jealousy. We see it in Joshua. We see it in ourselves. But Joshua isn't the only character in this story. There's another, Moses. And he responds to the news very differently from Joshua. Moses does not express jealousy for his own sake. He expresses zealousness for God's sake. Listen to verse 29. But Moses replied, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on all of them." Moses isn't jealous for his own turf. He's zealous for God's turf, for God's kingdom, for God's ministry. And so he rejoices at the work of God in the lives of others. Moses' attitude of zealousness reflects an attitude about God that is very different. Indeed, it is similar in that Moses recognizes God is unfair, but blessedly unfair, graciously unfair, generously unfair. God is lavishing his spirit. Rejoice! And indeed, God is unfair. He is unfair in the way that he is compassionate and slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love for us sinners. If he was fair, we would be condemned. We would be damned for our sin, including our petty jealousies. But God is unfair. He is not unjust, though. Sin had to be paid for. God couldn't simply sweep the sin under the rug. It had to be atoned for and accounted for. And so God accounted for it. In the person of Jesus Christ, he came into this world, and his life was perfect and holy. He did not succumb to any temptation, not even that of jealousy. And yet he bore the sin of all of us on the cross. And as he did so, God was both just and the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus Christ. And so indeed, God does justify you through Jesus Christ. You are declared right before him. You are declared as righteous and holy in God's eyes as Jesus himself, the one who substituted for you. And in his resurrection, Jesus Christ declares this victory over sin. God vindicates his righteousness. And as Christ has ascended on high, he continues to give gifts to men. First of all, the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out on Pentecost. The gift that was bestowed not just on 70 elders or 72, but the gift that was bestowed then on the 12 apostles, on the 3,000 who were baptized, and to the uttermost ends of the earth. Millions today have received this gift through baptism, through his word. And this gift of the Spirit now fulfills Moses' wish. Would that all of God's people had this Spirit upon them. Moses recognizes here the gracious gift of God, and that gift given through people like you, those who are going out to serve. And the gifts that he gives to you are varied, different. We can either rejoice in that variety or be covetous and jealous of that. But the Spirit empowers us now to rejoice, no longer to look at one another with a sense of competition, but a sense of cooperation. If I'm zealous for God, he's number one, not me. And so as he pours out his Spirit and variously gifts others, as he raises them up to accomplish his purpose, I rejoice that his work and his will is being done through them in a different way than maybe he is working through me. I can have joy in that. And so, the option here is that of being jealous or zealous. Jealous for our own turf or zealous for God's turf. There's only one letter difference between those two English words. And yet there's a world of difference in terms of our attitude. Thanks be to God that he has given us his Spirit. His Spirit that cleanses us from the sin of jealousy and empowers us to be zealous for God and for his kingdom. Amen.